The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
We welcome you to the Brad Sesmat Show. Gil Tyree filling in for the big guy on this Thursday, September 9th, 2021. We welcome you to the program, and what a power-packed show we have for you today. Coming up, we're going to check in with the outstanding voice of the ASU Sun Devils. The Sun Devils now 1-0, get ready for week two of the college football season when they take on UNLV at Sun Devil Stadium. We're going to hear from Tim Healy, my old running buddy at KTVK Channel 3 in Phoenix, and now doing great things for the new sports programs, men's basketball, football, and baseball, you name it. Tim does it. He is the voice of the Sun Devils. He will be in our first segment. In our second segment, we're going to check in with an old friend of mine who I really, really, really enjoy interviewing and having him on our program here today. That's the former head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs and the Miami Hurricanes, now doing great things for the ACC Network, now Mark Rick. He has a new book coming out. It's called Make the Call. It hit bookstores on August 31st, and Amazon has free delivery for you through September 15th. Wonderful book. He talks about the book, his faith in God, his ministry on the football gridiron, and also we talk about his recollections of 9/11 as we celebrate the 20th anniversary of 9/11 on Saturday. He also honors his mentor, the late head coach at Florida State, Bobby Bowden. That coming up a little bit later on. And then at the end of our program today, we're going to check in with our good friend Ross Tucker of the Ross Tucker podcast. And he has some things he's been doing. We'll check him about that. And nobody, I mean nobody, knows the National Football League better than Ross Tucker, and what better way to have him on week one of the National Football League season, which starts tonight. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers take on the Dallas Cowboys in Tampa, the defending Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Tom Brady, and that will be an 8 o'clock kick on NBC, and that's 8 o'clock Eastern. It's a big show for you coming up on today's program. And like I said, I want to thank the great folks at Desert Financial Credit Union for sponsoring our program here today. The wonderful people, valley-wide locations and also statewide. And they do a great job in servicing you, the general public. And we want to thank them. And also, our producer today, he does an outstanding job every time we have an opportunity to hook up with him. He puts up with Ma, and that's Jared Nielsen. And also Steve Burney, who also produces and gets us all our guests, and we thank him for that. U.S. Open up at Flushing Meadow, New York. Will history be made? We haven't seen it in 52 years. Will Novak Djokovic be able to pull off the Grand Slam? You know, he won the Australian Open. He won the French Open. He won Wimbledon, and he is just two matches away from winning the U.S. Open and putting himself in what we call uncharted waters. And he is an unbelievable human being, and what a great job he's done, and rarefied air, as we say in sports. That's where Novak Djokovic is headed. So lots to talk about. Diamondbacks continue to play out the season and, you know, just get it over with. The Dodgers continue to, and the Giants continue to dominate the NL West. We have a fight in the National League East between three teams. Who wants to win it? Will it be the Braves? Will it be the Philadelphia Phillies? Will it be the New York Mets? And we see in the Central, Milwaukee, running away with that division. I think their lead is double digits. And former Arizona Diamondback Craig Counsell has really done an outstanding job for them. And he is my choice to win Manager of the Year, and I've also his bench coach, the former Arizona State baseball coach, Pat Murphy, who's on Craig Council staff. In the American League, of course, it's in the East. It's the Rays, it's the Yankees, the Red Sox. They're all battling. Central, we all know about the Chicago White Sox, and what a great year and what Tony La Russa has been doing there. And also out West, you have, who's going to step up? Will it be the Mariners? Will it be the Angels? Will it be the Rangers? Who's going to go and dominate that division? So much to talk about and so much to do in and around baseball. So enough said. We're going to check in live with Tim Healy, the voice of Arizona State football. We'll be back after these important messages on the Brad Sesmatt Show here on Sports 360 AZ. Now from our fine folks at Desert Financial Credit Union. We'll be right back. Tim, welcome to the program. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Gil. This is awesome. It's like a rush trip down memory lane for you and me. Gil and I worked together for over a decade at Channel 3 Television as part of what I felt at the time was one of the best television sports departments in the country. Arizona State's TV package was on Channel 3 when we both started there. And you and I had the pleasure of working together on many ASU basketball telecasts over the years, covering the games of the incomparable Bill Frieder and his program. And then Gil and I had the pleasure of working together on the Cardinals radio package for 1 year, 1995, mm-hmm. the second year of the Buddy Ryan era. And Gil did all the pre and post game, and I had the honor of doing the play-by-play. It was exciting for me. It was only 1 year, but it was 1 year that I got to be an NFL play-by-play announcer. And the team didn't do so well, 4-12. But if you'll remember, four of their four games went to overtime that year. They won two, lost two. But it was just so much fun and working with you on that, because you and I are both right. You know, East Coast guys and longtime NFL fans. Gil and I have had many conversations over the years about every week when in the fall when his Philadelphia Eagles would play my Washington football team, I guess is what I have to refer to them now as. But NFC East battles aplenty during that time. But yeah, this is great. It's so good to see you, my friend.
And I learned so much from you, and I thank you. My time with you is some of the best years. Well, not some of the best years, the best years of my life. And like I said, I can't thank you enough for all you did for me. And you've made me a better person, a better sportscaster, and I thank you for that. And you're doing such a wonderful job with Arizona State football and basketball and baseball and really the voice, like I said, of Arizona State sports. I want to ask you this, Tim. This season for Arizona State football, of course, you know, we talked earlier about the big win over Southern Utah. UNLV straight ahead this week, and you'll get on that. But how big is this for the Herman Edwards regime, the Ray Anderson regime, and just from the standpoint of what they're doing in Tempe right now, this season in particular?
Well, it's been a building project for Herm, and you know, first of all, let me just say that Herm Edwards is fantastic to work with. You know, for a play-by-play guy, I mean,
he's, and you do a show tonight, right? You do his coach's show, his radio show.
Correct. Okay. They call it All Aboard because if you remember at his introductory press conference, the comment was made, you better get on the train now because it's leaving the station. And if you don't have a ticket, you're not going to get a seat. And so we call his show All Aboard. It's done at a local restaurant in Tempe. And we have an enthusiastic crowd of Sun Devil fans that come every week to watch the show and support the program. And Of course, we couldn't do the show in that fashion last year because of COVID-19. We did the show this way by Zoom, Herm in his office and me in my home office. And I'll tell you what, Gil, one of the most compelling moments ever for me, I think, in broadcasting. Last year, the week after, I think it was ASU's COVID-delayed first game of the season, they played and lost a heartbreaker, a game they absolutely should have won at USC. The Trojans scored two touchdowns on fourth quarter pass plays in the final 4 minutes with a recovered onside kick in between to win a game that Arizona State had dominated for the first 55 minutes. But the week after that, we did the Thursday night Zoom show with Herm, and he was actually on the air with us when he got the text message from ASU's team doctor that he had tested positive for COVID. And you could tell he just did not sound well. He sounded like a guy that was coming down with a really bad cold or a bronchial infection or a flu or something. But I mean, he hung in there and did the show with us. But that began that period of time where the ASU program had to be shut down for 3 weeks. In it for all intents and purposes because of an outbreak of COVID within the ranks of the team. But that was a chilling moment, you know, as Herm, you felt like he was literally getting sick right, you know, in front of our eyes there. And he just told me recently that he found out during the show, that show, that he had tested positive, but never indicated that on the program or to us, you know, between commercial breaks or anything like that. He just was a trooper and went through and did the show. But you know, I enjoy dealing with Herm. He's what you see or what you saw on ESPN all those years. And I think of you a lot because, of course, Herm was a great player for the Eagles, your beloved Eagles. And in fact, I just was watching
The miracle at the Meadowlands.
That still ranks, I think, as one Pisarcic. Of the all-time plays in the history of the National Football League. There's no question about it. And in fact, that's one of the questions we asked ASU players when Herm was hired. You know, have you ever heard of the miracle in the Meadowlands? And of course, none of them did. I mean, you know, they, you know, that was well before any of these current players was born. But like I said, he's been great to deal with. And an interesting observation I'd have is that in judging, you know, Herm's era so far at Arizona State is that if you look heading into this season, if you look at the records of his first 3 years at ASU, the season records, they're not going to knock your socks off. They were 7-6 his first year. They were 8-5 in 2019, his second year. They were 2-2 last year in the COVID shortened season. And yet the interesting thing to me is that each of those three seasons ended with an upward trajectory mm-hmm. for the program. Mm-hmm. In 2018, mm-hmm. the Sun Devils won 4 of their last 5 regular season games that year. Including a win at USC and a home win over a Utah team that went on to win the Pac-12 Western or Pac-12 South. And in fact, they beat Utah by 18 points at home in that game. And a come from behind win at Arizona when they were down 19 in the fourth quarter and ended up winning 41-40. They lost a bowl game that year to Fresno State in the Las Vegas Bowl. N'Keal Harry sat out the game and, you know, and even in that game, they led going into the fourth quarter. But that the season had an encouraging feel, if you will, because of the way they ended. 2019 was kind of the same deal. They started 5-1, including a scintillating last-minute victory at Michigan State, and then went through a 4-game losing streak at midseason. But they won their last 3 games of that season, including an electrifying home win over then 6th-ranked Oregon. Excuse me, a game that basically knocked Oregon out of the college football playoff. And then they won their bowl game, the Sun Bowl, beating Florida State when, you know, both teams had a lot of players out who were sitting out the bowl game. And then last year, even in the shortened season, they lost their first two games, a game they should have won against USC, a game they could have won against UCLA, excuse me, but then they won their last two games, 70-7 against Arizona and 46-33 at Oregon State, and they rushed the ball, they ran the ball like crazy in both games. And so it's interesting that the records have not been great, but every season seems to end with a sense of optimism about the direction in which the program is headed. And this year is the year that everyone is basically saying, now's the time. They're out of excuses. Now's the time to win, because they have returning starters at virtually every position on both sides of the ball. Their defense is experienced. It's talented. Offensively, they've evolved into one of the better rushing teams in college football. I think the big question mark on this club right now is, are they going to be able to come up with a pass attack, an aerial game that will supplement their potent ground game? Because they have a terrific young quarterback. Well, he's not young anymore. Jaden Daniels is in his third season as a starter. But they have a lot of good athletes at the wide receiver position. But the question is, do they have one or more that can emerge as a N'Keal Harry or Brandon Ayuk type of go-to big play pass receiver? That remains to be seen. But in their last – how about these numbers, Gil? In their last three games, the last two games of last season and last week's opener against Southern Utah this year, Arizona State has averaged 285 rushing yards per game. And more impressively, they have rushed for a total of 19 touchdowns in their last three games. And if you go back over the last quarter century, that is tied for the second most rushing touchdowns by any FBS team in a three-game span since 1996. Nebraska rushed for, 22 touchdowns, I think, in a three-game span in 1997. But that's pretty impressive stuff. So they haven't had to rely on the passing game in these last, at the end of last year and in the first game this season. But sooner or later, opponents are going to load up the box and commit to stopping the run and force Arizona State to throw and beat them up top, and we'll find out then if any of these young receivers can emerge as that next Brandon Ayuk or that next N'Keal Harry.
Right, and those are two. Of course, those two are in the National Football League, and Ayuk. I think the world of him and what he's doing with San Francisco is just unbelievable. He's an unbelievable talent. Back here on the Brad Sesmet Show, Gil Tyree filling in here on Sports 360 AZ. And, of course, our show is sponsored by the wonderful folks at Desert Financial Credit Union. With us, we are blessed right now with the appearance of the former head coach of the University of Georgia and the University of Miami. And also, he's doing great work now for the ACC Network. And he's an author doing great stuff with his new book out called Make the Call. Head Coach Mark Richt, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Gil, I'm doing great. It's good to see you. I hadn't seen you in a minute.
No, I hadn't seen you in a while. It's always great to catch up with you. And my best to your lovely wife, Catherine, and your wonderful, wonderful family. Let's talk a little bit about the book and how it came about. I saw the forewords, and you have some impressive people writing on your behalf, and John Maxwell and one of my favorites, Tony Evans, and also Dabo Swinney and Tony Dungy. Those are some heavyweights when it comes to Christianity.
Yeah, I was thrilled that they were willing to do it. I put the feeler out and asked if they would do it, and they were happy to do it. So that made me feel good. And the hardest part was trying to figure out what order to put everybody in. So I got them in one order in the book, and then on social media, it's just the opposite because they're all big hitters, like you say. So, but writing the book was great. You know, Make the Call is a little bit of a play on words. If you're the play caller in a game, you make a call every 40 seconds in a ball game. Of course, if you're the head coach, you're making calls throughout the game, throughout recruiting, when it comes to discipline and players. I mean, all kind of calls that have to be made, you know, throughout your time as head coach. But truthfully, making calls is just making decisions, and we all do that. And so the book's about, you know, behind the scenes look at some of the decisions I made over the years, football wise, family wise, faith wise. And ultimately, by the end of the book, I'm going to challenge the reader to make the biggest call that a person could possibly make.
And that call, of course, is witnessing for Christ and turning your life over to Christ. And nobody knows that better than yourself, because you saved a whole lot of souls and converted them. And I can tell you, unbelievably, you wear your faith on your sleeve and your chest, and you're authentic, you're real. And I really, really appreciate it. And it's refreshing to have a person like you who witnesses to all of us.
Well, I wouldn't say I saved anybody, but I certainly planted some good seeds, and the Holy Spirit did his work.
Now, the book reflects on, like you said on your call, but just recently you disclosed that you're dealing with Parkinson's disease, and
right,
and how you've been able to, and you did it very, I mean, tastefully, and you did it the way you wanted to do it. You control the narrative on your social media platforms, and you're doing great stuff on your social media platform. God knows we need more positive people like yourself to really, in my opinion, take control over a medium that's grown out of control. But talk a little bit about that and how you're doing, and
right,
you know, what
sure
we can do to help you.
Yeah, well, you know, Parkinson's, first of all, is not a death sentence, but there's no cure for it. It's a degenerative disease that normally over time makes a person less and less control of the muscles in their body, and even affects the brain to a certain degree. But, you know, there's been a lot of things that have happened in recent times. The interesting thing is, you know, I made it public, not for anybody to have pity on me, but basically, you know, I'm out in public and people are starting to see me, you know, just struggle to do things that I would normally could do easily, like walking without waddling around or losing my balance and things of that nature. So people kept asking what's going on. I got tired of giving them a bunch of junk. So I went ahead and just told the world about it. And in my tweet, you know, I mentioned that I looked at it as a momentary light affliction compared to the glory that's coming in heaven. You know, we're going to get these glorified bodies with no sin and no disease. And so it gives me hope. It gives me peace, where if all I thought I had in this world was this world, there's not a whole lot to look forward to when it comes to Parkinson's.
And I, you know, I watched you talk about that with Jason Romano on Sports Spectrum, and it was a wonderful podcast. He does a great job with that. And you were very, I mean, it really touched me in terms of, like you just said, about dealing with it. And we are going to get better bodies when we get up and in the kingdoms with the great I am, Jehovah Jireh. And so I really thank you for letting us know about that. Now, what can we do? Is there an organization that you've been partnering with that we can donate?
Well, there have been people that have approached me. I haven't gotten in bed with anybody in that regard to this point. You know, the biggest thing for me is prayers. You know, pray that I do a good job of deciding what the treatment should be, because there are a lot of different options besides just the leave a dope a drug that they want to give you. So there's other things you can do. So, you know, just pray for wisdom in that regard. And then, you know, pray for a cure. I mean, if you remember, you know, we all remember years ago when Magic Johnson said he had AIDS. I mean, back then there was a death sentence. Mm-hmm. He's still kicking, doing really good. So
no question.
You know, there's a chance. You know, my goal, Gil, is to stay in stage one. And stage one, basically, I could do just about anything I've done in the past. I just move slower. I do it more slowly. And it takes more energy and focus to do the simple things in life. But if I could stay in stage one while everybody keeps finding some answers, you never know what's going to happen in the end.
Well, you seem to have the magic cure, staying active and working out. You did a workout before you talked to us here today. And
right.
I want to take you down memory lane quickly, because we're so appreciative of the time that you're spending with us today. Of course, college football paid tribute to your mentor, Coach Bobby Bowden, yes, on Monday night. Sunday night, excuse me, when Notre Dame played last Sunday night, when they played Florida State in Tallahassee, right, at Bill Campbell Stadium. Your reflections on Coach Bowden and what college football will be with him moving forward, without him, I should say.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is he gave me an opportunity in the coaching profession. As a 25-year-old graduate assistant coach, he allowed me to coach his quarterbacks at a Power 5 school under his guidance. So he did a wonderful job of helping my career, but he also, you know, helped me even more so when it came to eternal things, and that he was the one who led me to Christ after the death of one of our players who got shot and killed at an on-campus party in 1986 when I was 26, my second year as a GA. So, you know, he was talking to the players, and he basically in the meeting said, you know, this Pablo seat is empty now. He said, you guys are 18 to 22 years old. You think you're going to live forever? Just like Pablo thought he was going to live forever. He said, if that was you last night instead of Pablo, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And, you know, he was talking to the players, but the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And I knew where I was going. It's not a good spot. So the next day I went to his office and prayed to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. And everything changed from there.
Wow. And the legacy of Coach Bowden lives in you. And, of course, your legacy lives in so many people. You know, this program, you know, originates in Arizona and sports, of course, Sports 360 AZ. And you had some memories at Arizona State. You know, what was it, 08 and 09, when you went out to Sun Devil Stadium and played?
Right.
Was Dennis Erickson the head coach then or what?
I can't even. You're asking the wrong guy.
I think he was.
He might have been. I know we played Arizona State. We won one and lost one. I think we won at home and lost it away, if I'm not mistaken.
No, but, I think you won both of them. I think you won. Yeah, one at Sun Devil Stadium, and I know you won the one in at Sanford Stadium, because there was a rainstorm, and I remember you having a conversation with Vontaze Burfict, the big linebacker.
And well, you know what I remember. You know what I remember about that game, Matthew. If I'm not mistaken, Matthew Stafford was a quarterback.
Yeah,
and I think he was throwing the ball so hard, our receivers couldn't catch it. Right, I mean, he was on the money. He was hitting. He was throwing beautiful strikes, but he was throwing it so hard they couldn't catch it. So we had to put Joe Cox in the game, right, at quarterback, right, and he completed a couple lobs. You know, he lobbed a couple in there, and we caught
that's
it.
Right.
And won the game late, so maybe that's what I thought we lost.
It was on a field goal too. It was on a field goal, if I'm not mistaken. It was on a field goal. So
yeah, I think Joe was in there for a couple drives. But anyway, right. It was wild.
No, it was wonderful. But before we let you go, two things. 20th anniversary of 9/11 this weekend. Your memory of that day and your feelings about the 20th anniversary.
Yeah, it was a wild day. We had a staff meeting, and we were going to go look at some recruiting tape. And back in the day, we were looking at television sets and putting VHS tapes in there. And we had the TV on, getting ready to stick in the tape. And we thought we were watching a movie, quite frankly, but we saw what everybody else saw, the second airplane, you know, crashing into the Twin Towers. And the world stopped, obviously, for everybody. And all we could think about was our country and the people who were going through that terrorist attack and all the people that were you know, running to the trouble instead of running away from it, as far as first responders. And I mean, it was just wild. We weren't thinking much about football at all. And it was my first year as head coach. And I think it was game two, getting ready to play game two against Houston. But we eventually played that game late in the year, but it was a wild day for everybody. But one thing I remember the most, there was a guy in town in Athens that drove around town with his pickup truck and had a Confederate flag. And, you know, that made me sick, kind of bent me out of shape and all that kind of thing. But after 9/11, he changed that flag for an American flag. And it was just symbolic of the country coming together when things were going bad. And that's what I hope we can continue to do.
And, of course, college football will play a great tribute. There will be many tributes this weekend, not only in and around the Pac-12, but also in the ACC network, where Coach Rick does an outstanding job. Back to the book. We can get it online. I think Amazon has free delivery up until September 15th. And you can also go to lifeway.com, correct? To order your book.
Okay. Yes, sir. Really, anywhere you buy books, it'll be there. And
Barnes and Noble's too?
Yeah, it's doing pretty good, actually. So they told me they're doing a reprint, which means they had to make more books. So that's a good thing.
Well, you know, I'm getting ready to call you the best-selling author, Head Coach Mark Rick.
I hope so.
Well, it's wonderful. Coach Rick, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it. Taking time out of your busy schedule. God bless you and your health, and God bless your family and all you mean to us. I love you to pieces, and I can't tell you how much you mean to me.
Well, you mean a lot to me too, and it was great connecting with you again. And hello to everybody in Arizona.
Okay. Jared Nielsen, our producer and director here today in our segment with Coach Rick. Coach Rick, we say thank you and Godspeed.
All right. God bless.
Welcome back to the Brad Sesmet Show, and Gil Tyree filling in for Brad on this Thursday. And I'm going to tell you something. I am so excited to have our next guest on this program. He's our final guest of the day, but I'm going to tell you what, we saved the best for last. And we want to thank Head Coach Mark Rick for joining us and talking about his book, Make the Call, and his faith and his journey walk with Jesus Christ. And also, I want to continue to put Coach Rick in our prayers as he deals with Parkinson's disease. But joining us right now on the Brad Sesmet Show here on Sports360AZ.com is my fave, Ross Tucker. He's host of the Russ Tucker podcast. And also, Ross does the My Front Page Now podcast. And Ross, opening night in the National Football League tonight, Tampa Bay, the world champions, defending their crown against America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. Here we are, week one of the National Football League season. Your thoughts?
Yeah, man, I'm just fired up. I'm excited to get it going. You know, we talk about it for whatever it is, 8 full months. It's just, I'm glad it's here. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping that there aren't very many COVID-related issues, and that, you know, the games get played on Sundays and Mondays and don't have to get moved all around all over the place. But looking forward to it. As it relates to tonight, it's kind of crazy, man. You know, this is the biggest spread on the board. People really think the Bucs are going to beat the Cowboys by 2 scores, and I kind of agree. I mean, the Cowboys are coming into the year still with a bunch of question marks from a health standpoint. You know, how healthy is Dak? How healthy is Amari Cooper? Can Lyle Collins hang out and play with the stingers he's been getting? And then Zach Martin, we know, isn't playing because of COVID, arguably the best guard in football. So it's not good when you're going on the road where they'll have to play in front of a packed house for the first time in 2 years, which is not easy on an offense or an offensive line. And you're going against the Bucs, who have everybody back, and all the reports out of Tampa seem to indicate they think they'll be even better this year than they were last year.
And not only that, but an opportunity for them tonight. They're going to be motivated. They have a chance to raise the flag. We see the Vince Lombardi trophy for another time, and a chance to say to everybody across the NFL and everybody who loves football, we are going to repeat as champions. There's nobody that covers the National Football League better than this gentleman I'm talking to now. Ross Tucker does a great job for Odyssey, Westwood One. You'll hear him on Westwood One during the season. And also, he did a phenomenal job this year. And last year, doing a Philadelphia Eagles preseason football with Scott Graham. And he has the host of his My Front Page Now. Talk to us a little bit about that, Ross, and how we can connect with you.
Yeah, honestly, Gil, it's like the greatest gift of all time, man. It's anybody can always check out any of my podcasts and stuff on social media at Ross Tucker NFL, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. But MyFrontPageStory.com is actually a buddy of mine's business that I got involved in. Gil, you literally talk to a writer for like 10 minutes about your wife or your mom, whoever you want to get the story for anniversary or birthday. They write the most unbelievable story. It looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. I mean, it looks beautiful. It's framed. And the cool thing is, I got experience with this. When you give it to somebody, like you give it to your wife, and you're like, hey, babe, I want to do something special for you, so I had a story written about you. She'd be like, what do you mean, Gil, you got a story written for me? What do you mean? No, literally, hon, I got a story written about you. And then when she actually reads the quotes and she sees, hey, I never tell her enough how much I appreciate everything she's done. I'm just telling you, your wife will cry. Your mom will cry. Whoever it is, she will cry. You will win MyFrontPageStory.com.
And we'll definitely tell the wives and the girlfriends and significant others to peruse that wonderful website again. It's MyFrontPage.com. 7 years in the National Football League, I will say this, that only an Ivy Leaguer could concoct that idea, that great idea, MyFrontPageNow.com. And that is our Ross Tucker. Ross, we're going to take a look, switch from, of course, tonight with the Cowboys and the Bucks. I want to look ahead to Sunday in a game that we're really going to be eyeballing out here in the desert. It'll be the Arizona Cardinals and the Tennessee Titans. Your thoughts about that, the point spread going in, and this is a pivotal year for the head coach and also the quarterback with the Arizona Cardinals. You agree?
There's no question. I really think, you know, it's year three for Cliff Kingsbury. Steve Keim, the GM, has been there. Mm-hmm. For a while
and Steve,
now,
and
you
Steve
know.
has been on the he's been in troubled waters with the owner, Michael Bidwell. He had, of course, some off the field issues, and just how this team has been constructed, there have been a lot of question marks. So you're absolutely right about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems pretty clear. You know, I don't even need to speculate, Gil. Mm-hmm. When you go out and you get J.J. Watt and you get A.J. Green, you know, you are in it to win it this year. You realize that you need to get some dubs and you need to make the playoffs this year. Otherwise, you don't sign, you know, old vets like that. You're hoping that those guys can help show the other guys how to win, get over the hump. You know, the problem for the Cardinals is just how good their division is. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Obviously, it's a really good division. But these are the type of games they got to win. You know, Tennessee's a good team. I think they're the best team in the AFC South. But it's a winnable game for the Cardinals, and it's the type of game that they have to win. You know, they got to find a way. Tennessee's not great on defense. I think it's a high-scoring game. They've got a hole right now at right tackle. And, you know, guys like J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones have to take advantage of that.
Ross, let me ask you this. The sudden retirement of Malcolm Butler, were you surprised by that? And what effect will that have not only on the field but also in the locker room?
Well, of course I was. You know, I don't know what's going on with him or his family. I hope he's okay. But that obviously creates a void for the Cardinals that they were not expecting. You know, that's rough when you lose a guy like that. But – you know, on some level, it's the same thing as an injury, right? I mean, you lose a guy, you have injuries all the time. You got to move on, and it's next man up, and they got to find a way with the other guys on the roster to go ahead and get them to play at a high level. But there's no question it hurts them because I don't think that was a great position group for them to begin with.
Desert Financial Credit Union, our sponsor here today. And of course, our guest is the great, and I must say the great, Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker podcast and also the creator of the MyFrontPageNow.com podcast. What are you going to be looking at too, Ross, in terms of week one in the National Football League? And then I want you to give us the recollection, your recollection on this weekend when we celebrate the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Where were you and its impact on sports, and take you back to go down memory lane with that?
Yeah, so number one, there's a lot of good games this weekend. Green Bay, New Orleans, certainly. I think Arizona, Tennessee is a good one. I think the one I'm probably looking forward to the most is Cleveland and Kansas City, just because I think that those are two of the five teams in my mind that have a legitimate chance to go to the Super Bowl and win it. But I think, like everybody else, I'm always excited to see the first-time head coaches, the rookie quarterbacks, you know, see what they can do. As for September 11th, you know, that was my rookie year, Gil. And I'll never forget, it was the second week of the season. It was a Tuesday. So I'm a rookie that had just moved into my apartment. And the Comcast cable guy or whatever came in. I didn't even have a TV yet. And he came in and set up my TV. And as he's setting up, he said something like, the first tower got hit. And so he sets up my TV and my cable. And we just sat there on the couch together, me and the Comcast cable guy, for 2 hours. Just watching everything going on. It was crazy. And, you know, what's even crazier is it was my wife, you know, my girlfriend at the time. It was her first day of work. And I knew she was working in Manhattan, but I didn't know where. So I kept trying to call her, and it kept getting like the circuits are busy thing. So that was a little concerning. And I had a bunch of college buddies that I knew worked downtown. So that was a day I'll certainly never forget, and it took a while till I heard that she was okay. But I didn't really even know where she was in the city. I just knew she was working in New York City.
Well, thank God she was safe. The NFL ended up canceling that weekend, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Or were the games?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. They canceled that weekend. I remember I ended up going home. And why I'm missing Pennsylvania, and meeting up with my girlfriend. We met there in my hometown, and I watched my high school team play a game, because I don't remember what college did, but high school, even though the NFL, I think, made the right decision to cancel.
Wow, exactly. Thank you for those recollections. And I want to one game you did not talk about, and I know because you're close to this football team, you cover it week in and week out, and nobody knows them better than you do. And that's the Philadelphia Eagles, and Jalen Hurts and company take on the Atlanta Falcons down at Atlanta. You have predicted the Eagles can win, what, 10 games, 9-10 games? You think they're a playoff team and can win the division, right?
Well, I think it's probably 10 games on the high end, 7 games on the low end, which means they'll probably end up being at about 8 or 9. But man, speaking, you know, we talk all the time on the Even Money Betting podcast. Everybody, Gil, was coming on and taking the under on the Eagles and betting on the Eagles to have the worst record. Man, I don't see it. They're too good up front, O-line, D-line, both sides of the ball. I love the over 6.5 season win total for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think they get 8 or 9.
Okay. For us who bet and get involved in and all the sabermetrics and analytics, and we look at all of this stuff and play fantasy football, what's the one nugget of wisdom that the great Ross Tucker can give us on the opening week of the National Football League?
Well, two things. One is, make sure you're listening to the Even Money podcast every week, because we got a documented track record of winning a lot. And then number two, I like a two-team, 6-point teaser. So if you're not familiar, you can move the spread 6 points but you got to do it for two games. Well, the Cowboys, or the Bucks are favored by 8.5, and the Rams Sunday night are favored by 7.5. You want to tease those down through the key numbers of 7 and 3, and so then you get the Bucks favored by 2.5, and the Rams favored by 1.5. And if they both win by that much, you hit it. And I feel very good about that two TVs. That's my one piece of advice.
And they can get the wives something really nice from the My Front Row, My Front Page Now podcast. Ross, how can we connect with you? You are brilliant. I love you. Like I said, I have an unabashed man crush on you. Your work is phenomenal. How can we connect with you in social media?
Well, thank you, Gil. It's very kind of you. Just at Ross Tucker NFL. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever you're on, at Ross Tucker NFL. If you like beer, if you like food, I post about that a lot. Food and stuff, and hopefully you guys do.
A connoisseur of everything, football and more. And what a better way to start our opening week of the National Football League as we take it 18 weeks in the National Football League. I call it the fun time of the year. The great Ross Tucker joining us. You'll hear him on Westwood One. He does great work for Odyssey. Did a great job as color analyst for the Philadelphia Eagles on their preseason package. And we're so humbled and honored to have him on the Brad Sesmet Show here today. Again, Ross Tucker, My Front Page Now.com, the podcast, and also Russ Tucker NFL Podcast.com. I got it all in, right?
That was awesome. Thank you, Gil.
Okay. Thank you. And also, we hear him here locally in Philadelphia on Sports Radio WIP on the Angelo Cataldi Show in the mornings in here in Philadelphia. We thank you so much, Ross. Have a great week. Stay safe. And thank you for your recollections on 9/11. And we thank you again for joining us on the program here today. That's going to put a wraps on our program for Brad Sesmet, Steve Birney, and our outstanding producer, Jarrett Nielsen. This is Gil Tyree. We'll see you down the road. And get them right in the National Football League and college football this weekend. We miss you. We'll take care.